In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good evening. So this Saturday, the church is beatifying a 15-year-old boy. This means that he's one step closer to becoming a saint. So it goes venerable, and then blessed, and then sainthood. So he is almost to becoming a saint. He was born in 1991 and passed away in 2006. And I kind of find his story very, very remarkable, right? And I find it very relatable because when I think about it, he's only 1 year younger than I am. So he was an ordinary boy who had an extraordinary love of God, right? He loved being with his friends. He loved playing video games. He loved designing websites. But above all, he loved the Lord, right? He was known before he took his first communion that he would recite rosaries almost every day. And as soon as he took his first communion, he made the effort to go to Mass every single day. And when he went to Mass, he would spend hours either before Mass or after Mass praying before the Blessed Sacrament. He would go to confession every week. He had this just a desire for the Lord. Now we might think, wow, what a beautiful faith. And how remarkable is it that his parents instilled such a strong faith within that boy? But the truth is, his parents actually didn't really practice the faith. His mom said that before her son, the last time that she would, or the only time she was in church, was for her confirmation, her communion, and her wedding day. But it was her son who ended up bringing her closer to the faith. It was her son who took his family closer to Jesus and not the parents bringing him. Now, the child, his name is Carlo, as he passed away at age 15 from leukemia. But as he was suffering, he said, "I offer up my sufferings for the Pope, for the church, and for all those suffering with illnesses." And his one request, his one last request, was that he was buried in the city of Assisi, which is a town in Italy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not, but it's where St. Francis of Assisi, that's where he is currently buried, who's actually feast day we remember today. So he had such a devotion to the saint that he wanted to be buried in that city. And I share this story with you, not just to spread devotion and to spread love of almost blessed Carlo, but to say that modern day sainthood is not impossible. That oftentimes we think that in this world, there's so many temptations, there's so many things that are being thrown at us and we'll never become saints because of the challenges put in front of us. That sainthood is for popes, it's for people, men and women living in convents and monasteries, it's not for us who live in this world. But the reality is, what this little boy shows us is that sainthood is for each and every single one of us. That sainthood is for you and for those who are sitting next to you. And it is possible for all of us to attain it. Because saints are ordinary people who love to do normal things. Right? Think of the teenage boy. He loved playing video games. Right? How many of us just love to do ordinary things? But the difference between, there's a difference that a saint recognizes. That above all, while they enjoy these things within their life, they recognize that God must be first in all things. Blessed Carlo said, "To always be close to Jesus, that's my life plan." And that's what distinguishes saints, is that they put God before everyone and everything else. For many of us, our life plans might be to get married, to have kids, maybe to become a priest, maybe to become a nun. Our life plans might be to be doctors or to be lawyers, to be successful in our pursuits, whatever we want to do, whatever brings us joy. So we pursue these plans and we try to fit God into the picture. But a saint pursues God and fits everything else into the picture. So God is the plan. It's a different way of thinking than what we're normally accustomed to. So we might say that, yeah, God is number one in my life. And of course, we all would want to be saints. I would love to be canonized as a saint one day. But does our life reflect that? Is God our plan, or is God just merely an aspect of our plan that we try to fit him in to whatever it is within our lives? Because if God is an aspect of our plan, then we're not giving him all of our lives. We're only giving him a part of our life. We're saying, okay, God, you can have this section for yourself, but everything else is for me, is for my ideas, my plans, whatever it is. But the reality is that God doesn't want a part of you. He wants the whole thing. And we must give him our entire selves, our entire lives. And when we do that, not only does everything else fit into the box, not only does everything fall into place, but we progress down our own path of sainthood. That's our ultimate goal, right? Is for God to be the plan. So how do we do it? How do we make God the plan? Well, we heard it in Jesus. We heard Jesus speak today in the gospel. He said, in order to strengthen our faith, we need to pray and we need to fast. Let's just focus on the prayer aspect of it. Prayer at its simplest is a conversation between us and God. What is the greatest way to converse with God, to speak to him? Well, it's when you're before the Eucharist. It's when you come and visit the Lord in the Eucharist. Why? Because the Eucharist is the physical manifestation of God's presence here on earth. That every time we look on the Eucharist, every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive God himself. And so our lives and our days should be centered around the Eucharist. As the Catechism tells us, right, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life, meaning our entire lives should flow from the Eucharist, that we should be directed to the Eucharist because the Eucharist is that which should direct us. And so our lives must be Eucharistic lives, that we should desire to receive and to be with the Eucharist because of who the Eucharist is, God himself, and what the Eucharist does for our lives. So we need to reflect upon how often do we receive the Eucharist, and how often do we make time to spend in front of the Eucharist? So once a year, once a month, once a week, once a day, do we arrange our schedules so that we can make time for the Lord? The reality is that oftentimes what can happen within our lives is that prayer becomes this thing that we fit in when we have enough time. That we can, you know, make these excuses, we're too busy, we work too much, I'm full-time in school, I'm full-time this, I'm full-time that, I'm doing all these extracurricular activities, but we don't have enough time for prayer for ABC reasons. But to do that is not to live our lives as if God is the plan, but it's to say, God, I have all these other things that are within my life, and I'm going to fit you into the box when I have enough time for you. And so what we must do is sacrifice our time in order to make sure that we are spending enough time with the Lord. And sacrificing time, especially in today's society, it's a very, very valuable thing. Time is probably one of the most valuable things that we have in today's society. Because it's the only thing that we can never replenish and we can never save. That once you lose time, you're never going to get it back. And so it's a sacrifice for us to say, I'm working 14 hours a day. Just want to relax. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I have to wake up an hour early. I have to sacrifice some of my sleep. I have to look at my schedule and see how I can center my day around God, that we must think about it and we must take the time to be with the Lord. And so that is what we should be thinking about, is how can I schedule my day out so that I can make sure, whether it's before work or after work, whether it's before school or after work, to be with the Lord. Ultimately, so that God becomes the center of our day, and through this we grow in to become the saints that God wants us to become. I mentioned the soon-to-be Blessed Carlo, right? He loved to design websites. He had such a deep love and desire for the Eucharist that he wanted every single person in the world to know who the Eucharist is and what the Eucharist can do. So he designed this website. At age 11, he began work on this website that catalogs every single Eucharistic miracle that took place in the world. Now, a Eucharistic miracle is one which, when you receive the Eucharist, you're receiving bread, right? And God is, transubstantiated under it. But when you're receiving the Eucharist, it looks like bread. A Eucharistic miracle is when the bread actually turns into physical body. Now, scientists have studied this, and they've determined that they don't know what actually causes it. And so this kid, at 11 years old, designed a website, and that website is still active to this day. So you can go online and look at the website, and you can click by country, and it explains every single Eucharistic miracle that took place, because he wanted the world to know the value of the Eucharist and who the Eucharist actually is. And he said this really, really beautiful quote. He said, "The more Eucharist we receive, the more we will become like Jesus, so that on this earth, we will have a foretaste of heaven." So the more we receive the Eucharist, the more we become like Jesus. The more we spend time in front of the Eucharist, the more that our lives come to look like Jesus' life. And so this week, think about your schedules. How much do we work? How many activities we have? How much school we have? Whatever it is, think about your schedules and think about how you can start incorporating more time with the Eucharist. Because the more we do, the more that God becomes the plan for our lives. And the more that we do this, the more that we strive becoming those modern day saints who have this deep desire for the Eucharist, and ultimately they have a deep desire to be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. Amen.